Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the second hour of the Sunday Spin. I was glad to hear that the wind chill has dropped from 18 below to 17 below.
I still want to go swimming.
You are crazy.
Well, it's not freezing. It's 33.
Well, if you want to go, we'll be glad to watch.
Our own version of the polar plunge.
Sure, we can. I'm sure we can get this on video if you'd like.
You don't want that on video. You don't want that on video.
Oh, please be careful out there. It is dangerous out there.
I drove by the Lincoln Park Lagoon yesterday, and there were ducks walking on the ice.
Yes.
And portions of the lakefront actually were a bit frozen yesterday.
Which,
so,
we haven't seen that in a while.
No, we haven't. And this is, I would imagine, this is by far the, you know, the lowest temperatures we've seen all winter this winter. And they'll be with us for another couple of days. As we mentioned, that wind chill advisory going into effect tonight, it'll be with us through noon tomorrow because we're going to see wind chills down to 20 below or more.
Oh, boy.
For the overnight hours and into tomorrow. So, get ready.
Yes.
If you're not ready now, get ready.
You better be ready by now. And, of course, as you said earlier, we knew it was coming. You know, it is Chicago.
Oh, yeah. It's mid-January. Of course it was coming.
But I'll say one thing, and I noticed this yesterday after I was leaving for show prep, is that it is actually getting lighter, longer.
Slowly but surely.
You know, it's not
slowly
pitch,
but surely.
And it's also getting lighter earlier as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yep.
So look at the positives here. We're, you know, we're on the downslide.
Yeah, right. I told somebody last week I have to start my countdown to spring training for baseball.
Oh,
that always is something to look, you know, gives us a glimpse into warmer days ahead.
And, of course, the Cubs convention going on.
Cubs convention right now, yeah.
Yeah, so, yes, their warmer days are ahead. Thanks, Dave.
Anytime. Well,
thanks for that positive note. Joining me now on the Sunday Spin is Rob Carr, the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. And, Rob, thanks for getting up with me this morning.
Hey, Rick, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
So I understand there's a bit of controversy going on, as if we don't need any more controversy at Chicago City Hall, but a bit of controversy going on over a provision that Mayor Rahm Emanuel is seeking regarding the taxation of tobacco products in the city of Chicago. Can you fill us in what's going on?
Yeah, well, Rick, the city council, and at the behest of the mayor, introduced a proposed ordinance that would increase the age at which you can purchase cigarettes from 18 to 21 years of age. They would also put a tax on other tobacco products. So they have a tax on cigarettes, which they're allowed to do under state law. They do not have a tax on other tobacco products, which are things like smokeless tobacco, loose leaf tobacco, and little cigars. There's some significant legal question whether they have that authority, but they're proposing it nonetheless. But most controversially in this proposed ordinance, they are proposing a minimum floor price. So for the first time, certainly in Illinois, the city of Chicago is determined that it is knows best how to price a product for retailers.
So the city is determining how much the floor, what the floor is for the sale of tobacco products.
Right. So they're saying in this ordinance that, for example, for cigarettes, the price has to be at least $11.50 per pack, that it has to be $11.50 for a 1.2-ounce can of smokeless tobacco. That comes out to about $9.58 per ounce. The same is said for smoking tobacco. So they're telling us that you can't sell it below this price and that you can't discount it, you can't put it on sale, you can't use coupons, that the minimum price that you can charge has to be this amount. And in the case of cigarettes, $11.50.
Is that because they can then try to maximize the tax revenue off that?
Well, Rick, it's interesting that you went there first because that's exactly where my mind went when I first read it. It's a great way now they can just simply start raising the price instead of ever having to raise the tax. and try to avoid the nasty headlines that come with that.
But what legal authority exists for setting a minimum floor price, a government setting a minimum floor price for a product?
Well, there certainly doesn't seem to be a prohibition on it, because they'll argue that they're not setting a price, that they're just setting a minimum floor price, that the retailers can do anything they want to do above and beyond that price. There is some precedent in a couple other states for this. Wisconsin, for example, does have a minimum floor price for things like dairy products. It's a Depression-era law. It was designed to protect their dairy industry.
Yeah, it was a dairy support for their leading industry in the state.
Correct. But it's interesting to note that historically, these minimum floor prices have gone the way of the dinosaurs. Everybody understands that when government shouldn't be in the process of setting prices, that were they to do this for other things, consumers pay more than they ordinarily would. We would have missed out, consumers would have missed out on the competitiveness of the grocery industry, for example, which, you know, depending what your view is on it, you certainly, consumers, no one can argue that consumers aren't benefiting from the competitive nature of the grocery industry. So the minimum floor price is just a terrible way, and I just am flabbergasted at how the city of Chicago believes it has the expertise to determine what ought to be the pricing in a store for any product.
Well, as you said, these came from like the idea theory comes from Depression era. I mean, if you want to talk about dairy supports, there was a time when the government decreed that margarine couldn't be yellow because it would unfairly look like it was butter. I mean, what's to stop government from, you know, say we were just talking with Marty Luby about infrastructure. What's to stop the government then from determining a minimum gasoline price to maximize tax revenues out of motor fuel taxes?
There's absolutely nothing to stop that if they were to decide they wanted to do that. And again, I think at the end of the day, the consumer pays the price. Because anybody that comes along that has a better method of business, a better way of conducting business, that's more efficient, that brings the products to the market more cheaply, the consumer misses out on that because in this case, or in your example, gasoline, let's say, they'd have to charge a minimum price for that gasoline. And so we just think it's horrendous. And again, you look at what you mentioned in your opening, the city of Chicago facing all of the problems it's facing, can't manage many of the programs and institutions that are under it, yet somehow it has the expertise to manage pricing on individual products is just mind-boggling.
We're speaking with Rob Carr, the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio on a chilly Michigan Avenue at Tribune Tower. And I'm sure much warmer on the phone is Rob Carr, the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. Rob, I was just thinking, what's to stop the city from setting a minimum temperature, you know?
Well, if they were, I would certainly support something in the neighborhood of San Diego, you know, 75 degrees a year round.
Well, so we were talking about this issue of, in an effort to generate $6 million, the city is determining that there shall be a minimum floor price for tobacco products sold in the city of Chicago, which leads to the question of where is the issue of competitiveness, of retailer discretion, manufacturer discounts, as you said, coupons. I mean, this seems to be, and I guess maybe the fundamental question is, because it's tobacco and because of the controversial nature of tobacco products and the expressed desire by politicians to have people get off tobacco, have them quit smoking, whether this is like an easy suspect to try to put this minimum pricing issue on?
I think you hit it right on the head. It is an easy one to go at. I think typically, unless you're a smoker, tobacco engenders no real support, if you will, among the general public. So the general inclination is, yeah, why not? Until you start thinking about, wait a minute, if they do it with this product, what's the next product? Likely alcohol. Then what? The snowball starts down that hill. And we're assuming that their revenue estimates are correct. We're trying to figure that out now. But it seems to me that their estimates might be a little lowball here. But there is nothing to stop them from continuing this trend. And as we talked about in the first segment, Rick, this is done in complete absence of knowledge of any business's cost inputs. They have no idea of all the other things that are going into any particular, in this case, retailer's cost of doing business. And no cost of doing business is the same, is identical for every retailer. It depends on their size, depends on the complexity of their operations. And it also doesn't take into account the fact of what the city's doing on the cost side for businesses. They are killing city businesses right now, particularly those in the neighborhoods and in the retailers, with their artificially imposed mandates, such as minimum wage. You have the county doing the property tax, the sales tax. They're talking about at the city level paid time off and scheduling restrictions. The list goes on. So they're really pinching their employers from both sides. And then to now say you have to price a product at a certain level, it's starting to get to the point that some are going to look around and just ask who they should hand the keys to at City Hall.
Well, and we know very well the whole issue of property taxes and the city property tax increase and how it was sold as a way to basically it would affect the booming downtown more than it would affect others. But the retailers have that to pay as well.
Yes, they have all of that to pay and absorb, and we've already been told, you know, that this is probably the first round of property taxes. And as you know, and most of your listeners know, in the city of Chicago, commercial industrial properties pay 2.5 times more than their residential counterparts. So an unusually heavy burden falls on that, on the employers in the city and the county that doesn't fall anywhere else. And we should note, Rick, that they're looking for $6 million here to fund an educational program that is near and dear to the mayor's heart, and it may be a very valuable program. But, you know, once again, we have to question why they can't look first at internal efficiencies. As the Tribune covered a week or so ago, you know, Chicago Public Schools headquarters spent nearly $3 million last year on catering. Now, I'm not begrudging the fact that occasionally you have to have a staff working, you know, lunch or something, but you've got half the money right there for the $6 million program.
Well,
going down this path. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, and you also, there's the report from the Better Government Association about the closed schools, and they can't find any of the equipment, not a lot of the equipment, that was going to go from those schools to other schools.
Yeah, and so it's hard to imagine that between those two alone, you can't find the $6 million for this product or for this project. From your current spending, why this has to become the Trojan horse, if you will, for government to start mandating price controls is beyond me.
Well, and you also have the issue too of the in Cook County, the increase in the sales tax going back up, the back to the Stroger tax levels too, which that certainly has to have an impact on Cook County regional retailers.
Oh, most certainly it does. It's not hard to take your shopping just across a border and pay a noticeably different sales tax. And we know, recently, because of the state's problems, they weren't paying lottery winners who had won over more than $600. Well, there was a noticeable fall off of lottery sales in Illinois and a noticeable spike in border communities, such as in the Quad Cities, over the border in Wisconsin, just across from Rockford, in Lake County, Indiana, and in the Quad Cities across from the Metro East. All of them experienced spikes. People clearly are willing to travel. If they're willing to travel for a lottery, you bet they're going to travel for a higher sales tax. And once they're over there for one item or two items, they're going to be over there for others. So it really becomes a self-defeating philosophy.
I was just going to say, no one goes just for one thing. And while they're there, and when you start looking at various pricing differences, much of it caused by taxation, things like cigarettes, things like liquor, those vice taxes kinds of things, than the revenue estimates that, you know, I've always wondered what the cost benefit analysis really comes down to on those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's very hard to track it all entirely because you will always see a spike when somebody has a tax increase, but you will always then, particularly as we've seen in the city of Chicago, after every cigarette tax increase, then they slowly have the tax revenue slowly declines over time. So it clearly shows that sales shift elsewhere.
Well, let me ask you this, Rob. With this issue of mandated minimum price, is there any effort to look at this as far as any kind of a lawsuit?
Well, that will have to be a decision that others our membership will make, that others will make. We'll have to take a look at that and how that gets funded. That is clearly part of the discussion. And I think it's unfortunate that once again, the city's kind of reaction is, catch us if you can, is the approach they're taking. They're taking that on minimum wage. There's some question whether they have that authority. They're taking that in other areas of regulation. And now they're doing it once again here. And it's a little disheartening. That they also add that cost then into the cost of doing business for employers in the city who have to undertake expensive lawsuits and time-consuming lawsuits in order to have correct public policy.
Well, what is the relationship between the retail community and in Chicago and City Hall? I mean, were there any conversations about any of those issues, including this most recent one about the minimum pricing? Has there been any conversation prior to just seeing this show up in an ordinance?
In terms of what we're talking about today, the minimum floor pricing, it just showed up in an ordinance. There have been no return phone calls from the mayor's office, so no, there has not been any communication.
What about as far as that minimum wage issue, though?
Well, there was communication on the minimum wage issue. I mean, they let us know what they were going to. They let us know they were doing it and what they were going to do. There was no effort to try to temper it in any way. They had the Working Family Working Group for the issue of paid time off and scheduling and some other issues that they're coming out with. We were a part of those discussions, a minority part of those discussions, but a part nonetheless. The communication is decidedly one way on most issues.
That's our city that works. Rob Carr, president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, thank you for bringing this issue to everybody's attention, and thanks for joining me this morning.
Rick, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me, and stay warm.
You too. We'll be back with more right after this.